What is the best security system you've ever used? Has it ever failed? Companies spend millions of dollars to secure their assets, to lock up what is valuable, to keep things under control. I find the security system requested by the chief priests and Pharisees and described in Matthew 27 to be a complete failure. These religious leaders had gone to Pilate on Saturday, anticipating a possible theft by the 11 disciples, those first followers of Jesus. Pilate granted their request. "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." That's the crux of the matter. How securely can you lock God in? How securely can you keep people out? The empty tomb proves to us all that God is greater than any challenge we face. May our faith be strengthened as we worship today. Who is Jesus? He is the risen Lord. Blessings from the desk of Pastor Keith. The Ajax Baptist Church Easter Sunday Service, online, April 5, 2020. On behalf of Pastor Keith Edwards and the entire family here at Ajax Baptist Church, we're delighted that you've joined us for our special Easter Sunday worship service. The text is Matthew 28, 1-10, and the message is entitled, "Who is Jesus? The Risen Lord." Now, here's Pastor Keith.
Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good Easter Sunday morning, Ajax Baptist Church family. We have good news. We call it the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Won't you join us as we sing together, "Worship Christ, the Risen King"? Worship Christ in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have risen from the dead. This is good news when we hear the angels say, "He is not here. He is risen from the dead. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Father, thank you for these eyewitness accounts preserved for us in the Gospels. Thank you for the truth that we can sing about, that we can reflect upon, that we can celebrate on this Easter Sunday morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father, that in the midst of the challenges that we are currently facing, we have hope. We thank you for the very declaration of Jesus, "Because I live, you shall live also." So we worship you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have conquered death and hell. You have conquered the grave. And so we pray that as we celebrate today with these songs of victory, songs of triumph, our own faith would be strengthened. Our own hope would be renewed. We would be filled with an inexpressible joy And today we would declare the wonders of our God. So thank you for the privilege of worship. Lord, though we're scattered, we are gathered together at your throne collectively as one. And we worship you through Jesus Christ and pray that the Spirit of God, who indwelt him and indwells your children, would fill our hearts to overflowing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join together in prayer as we worship God, thank him for his provision, his protection. Let's bow together. Father in heaven, we are grateful that we may turn to you at any hour. We're grateful that your word reminds us God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We're grateful that we may cast all our cares upon you because you do care for us. So help us this day to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer, with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto you. You are our God. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. So thank you for providing for us. Thank you for the gifts that we have given. Lord, the gift of our time, the gift of our talent, our tithes, our gifts and offerings to you. We thank you for your provision for each of our needs. Thank you for your protection, and we continue to pray for your help, your protection. We pray for those in our church family and those in our extended families who are serving you on the front lines, those in the medical community, those providing care in the long-term facilities. We pray that you would protect them, provide for them. Lord, these are challenging days, and we pray that each one might know your peace, your grace, whatever perplexity, whatever overwhelming situation is upon them. We pray that they might experience your wisdom, your grace, and your love. Guide our missionaries. We thank you for them and pray that where they are scattered in different parts of this country and around the world, that you would equip them, Lord, as they navigate new waters and try to figure out how to best minister to their communities in various languages. Encourage them. Thank you that we may partner with them. We may support them with financial gifts. We may pray for them. We may dialogue with them and interact through text messages and emails and discover firsthand the challenges that they are facing. So encourage them, bless, we pray, and lead them by your grace. And Father, again, we pray for those that you've placed in authority over us. We pray for our Prime Minister, pray for members of Parliament, that you would strengthen them, that you would guide them in the choices that they are making day after day, week after week. We pray for our Premier, members of provincial parliament, that each of them too may look to you, that they may realize how finite, how limited our resources are. Guide each of them. And Lord, we pray for your mercy. We pray that you would bring this virus to an end, that you would give great skill and wisdom to those who are exploring vaccines and exploring treatment. Give them great insight. Thank you for the gift of science and for the skills and abilities you have provided for us in this land. Lead us forward, and Father, for our own personal needs, we pray that you would supply them, give fresh hope, fresh faith, fresh confidence that you are our God, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that the Holy Spirit will grant to us the peace that only God can give. So comfort those who are distressed. Bring relief to those who are anxious. And give us all, we pray, a fresh sense of joy in the midst of the darkness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the most significant world-changing event you've ever experienced? I'm sure our answer to this question in April 2020 would be significantly different than it was a year ago. This pandemic has changed and is changing everything, isn't it? Well, in terms of the Christian faith, what would you say is the most significant world-changing event? I think collectively the church through history would say the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most significant world-changing event. Today we're wrapping up a series of studies which we launched back in March, answering the question, who is Jesus? We've seen him as the suffering, dying, risen Savior. We saw him as the beloved Son, the seeking Shepherd, the compassionate Healer, the established king, the lowly king last Palm Sunday, and Friday we saw him as the forsaken Savior, but today we see him as the risen Lord. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, we're going to read the first 10 verses. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat in it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Join me as I lead us in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this account preserved for us of the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. With your word open before us, we pray, Father, that our hearts would be open, that we would be challenged, that we would be changed, we would be encouraged and strengthened as we gaze once again upon the empty tomb and the risen Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's the fourth commandment, isn't it? In the list of 10 given to us in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's part of the first table of the law, the first set of instructions given to the people of God through Moses, the mediator of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. God said to his people, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, we have been in Holy Week these past 7 days. So from sundown Friday night until sundown Saturday night, the Sabbath had been observed. It was a day of rest, a day of no activity, a day of pausing and reflecting, something we're all able to do for extended periods during these challenging days. But now as we come to Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, we read, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week. This is Sunday morning. The sun is just breaking over the eastern horizon. The roosters in Jerusalem have crowed like they always do each morning. And I dare say every time Peter heard a rooster, the memory of his denial came flooding back. But the focus in this text is not upon Peter, but upon two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They had come to look at the tomb. But look back with me, if you would, back to chapter 27, verses 55 and 56. Many women were there. This is the scene of the crucifixion. Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Here were these women and others who were watching the crucifixion from a distance. I'm almost positive their eyes would be flooded with tears as they watched their master, their savior, their Jesus, die such a cruel death on Good Friday afternoon. And then as evening had approached, that is before sundown, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the man who had come to see Jesus at night and who was interested in how to be born again, they had gone to Pilate and had asked for the body of Jesus so they could give it a proper burial. Time was running out. They had to have this done by sundown, so they took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in a brand new tomb, one that had never been used by any other person. Now look with me at verse 61 of chapter 27. Matthew writes, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. They'd followed Joseph, they'd followed Nicodemus as they carried the body of Jesus to the gravesite. And the stone had been rolled in front of the entrance. They had gone away, and here are these two women sitting there opposite the tomb. What were they doing? Weeping? Thinking? Praying? Talking? We don't know. Perhaps a mixture of all these and more. But they had to get home before sundown. Now they knew where the tomb was. They'd followed the procession to the graveside, but it had been such a rush, and they were so exhausted emotionally and physically from the day. Now the other gospel writers fill in the details. These women had visited the tomb. They were sitting there opposite the tomb, and then they had returned home in observance of the Sabbath. And now, early Sunday morning, their mission continues. I wonder if they even slept Saturday night. Luke indicates that they had brought spices. Nicodemus and Joseph had used some spices in the preparation of the body, but these women had brought more spices, and they were coming to finish the preparation. It was the least they could do to show respect, to show the Lord how much they loved him, to show how much they missed him, to show the Lord God Almighty how much their hearts ached for their Messiah. Grief is overwhelming, isn't it? We all grieve in different ways. Each culture, each family, each nation grapples with grief and processes the various stages of loss in a variety of ways. And as we come to chapter 28, verse 1, after the Sabbath, at dawn on that first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. They would be keeping their distance. After all, Pilate had agreed the day before that the chief priests were to post a guard. The chief priests had authority to make the tomb, I love it how it says, as secure as you know how. How secure can you make a tomb when God's inside? But they posted a guard for fear that the disciples, these close followers of Jesus, might steal the body and then claim that he had risen from the dead. So these two women came together and they had gone there to look. What did they expect to see? Just a tomb. Just a tomb with a huge stone, impossible for them to move. It was as if Christ, their Messiah, had been shut off from them permanently. But what did God show to them? God had a huge surprise awaiting them. There was a violent earthquake, we read in verse 2, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it, not to let Jesus out, but to let the others look in. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow, and the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. God's messenger, this angel of the Lord, had a direct message for them. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I know. I realize God has shown me that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. I wonder this Easter Sunday morning, 2020, are you looking for Jesus? Have you spotted him? Have you seen him at all this week in his word or in your circumstances, even in the dark hours of what we're facing together? These women were looking. They were searching. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. Now, who is this Jesus that they're looking for? He is the risen Lord. And in verse 6, we see that he is the keeper of his word. Jesus had spoken many things through his ministry. He had made many promises, and he kept every one of them. He keeps the promises he made. He's as good as his word. He is not here, the angel said. He has risen, notice these words, just as he said. Just as he said. Come, come see the place where he lay. He said he would rise. Don't you remember those predictions? Let me review them briefly for you. Matthew 16, we looked at these texts a few weeks ago. Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and, notice this, and on the third day be raised to life. Chapter 17, the very next chapter, just a few more months down the road, they had come together in Galilee. They had gathered together as a band of followers, and he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. Prediction number two. And then in chapter 20, a third prediction, verse 18. Verse 18, as Jesus says, we're going up. We're on our way to Jerusalem. We're headed there for Passover. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and they will turn him over to the Gentiles, the Romans, to be mocked and flogged and crucified. But then he finishes that prediction with this great expression of hope. On the third day, he will be raised to life. Listen, three identical predictions of the same event, three predictions of Easter. How many times did they have to hear the same truth before they believed it? How many times do you and I need to hear the same gospel truth before we believe it? Oh, I confess at times I'm so slow to believe, so reluctant to take God at his word. Jesus, the risen Lord, who we see in these verses in Matthew 28, is the keeper of his word. Secondly, he's also the leader of his followers. In Matthew 28, verse 7, the angel says to these women, come and see, verse 6, and then verse 7, go and tell. Go quickly, in fact. Go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. I love those words. He is going ahead of you. What a comfort. He is inviting them to follow Jesus. Jesus is inviting his followers to follow him just as he invites us today to follow him. He's going ahead of you this morning. He's going ahead of you this afternoon, this evening. He is going ahead of you this week, this month, this year. He's the leader. We're his followers. What a Savior, our risen Lord, the keeper of his word, the leader of his followers. And how did these women respond to this good news? Verse 8, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. What a contrast of emotions. Maybe that's your emotional state this morning, battling fears, coping with anxiety, but filled with joy. Despite the reality of our current circumstances, God is filling your heart with new joy. You don't have to battle those fears alone. You don't have to deal with your anxious thoughts all by yourself. Christ is with you. He is going ahead of you. And so they came to him. They came to him. I love those words. They came to him. Jesus had met them. And as they come to him, as they encounter the risen Christ, they clasp his feet, they worshiped him. That's what we've done in our homes this morning, isn't it? That's what we've done for many years, again and again and again. We have come to him. We have come and we've gathered to worship. Oh, may I encourage you this morning to read and reread this passage. Let your heart be filled with fresh faith. Write out the main ideas. Encourage your own hearts and encourage the hearts of others with the good news of this day. Who is Jesus? He is the risen Lord. He is the keeper of his word. He is the leader of his followers. Oh, collectively and individually, wherever we are scattered across this community today, let's worship him. Let's honor him. Let's follow him. Let's praise him. And let's give God the glory that we worship the risen Lord. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed our special Easter Sunday worship service. For the time being, this is how the family of Ajax Baptist Church will continue to worship together. If you have any questions or comments, you're invited to call Pastor Keith at 905-683-4802. Please stop in again next week for our regular Sunday worship service online. Blessings from Pastor Keith Edwards and the entire family here at Ajax Baptist Church.